Hi everyone. I hope that's better. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Testing, testing. I believe that, yes, there we are. It's Naomi Wolf, and this is a special report. I'm very honored to have joining us remotely Professor Paul Johnson of York University. And it's a kind of urgent video tonight. It's kind of a spread the word, five alarm alert is how I've been talking about it, because Professor Johnson has written a very, very important essay about an assault on the rights of LGBTQ people in the UK by the Johnson government. And what I'm going to be doing tonight, we're really honored to have Professor Johnson with us, as I mentioned, remotely. He's going to be able to answer questions via other technology. So what I'm going to be doing is introducing you to him. I'm going to be telling you why this is such an emergency and why you need to spread the word. And then I'm going to be going through his essay, and then I'll be inviting questions. I'll be reading your questions basically to him. I mean, he's going to be responding via another technology, actually Google Hangout. So Professor Johnson, one of the most distinguished commentators on LGBTQ law and the European Court of Human Rights. He is head of department of the Department of Sociology at the University of York. And he's author of really, really important books on LGBTQ law and history, such as With Robert Vanderbeck, Law, Religion, and Homosexuality, which I was privileged to receive a copy of from the author. By the way, he's one of my personal heroes. He's my, you know, really my mentor in revising my own book, because I'm not a legal historian, and he's one of the great commentators on the history of persecution of especially men for sodomy. He also wrote Homosexuality and the European Court of Human Rights in 2013. So he's a profoundly accomplished commentator on these issues. Another essay that you really shouldn't miss of Professor Johnson's is Buggery and Parliament, 1533 to 2017 in Parliamentary History Right Now. And you absolutely have to read it if you possibly can. But one of the things that I admire Professor Johnson so much for is that he doesn't just speak to other academics or other kind of gatekeepers in the academy. He really tries to explain the law and the history of the law to everyone in terms that they can understand. And this is so, so important with the subject that we're going to be talking about tonight. Well, it's important with everything that he's explaining, because people have to understand their history and they have to understand law, and not just historians or lawyers need to understand history and need to understand law. But what's happening right now, as he's explained in his really important blog, LGBT people in the UK should prepare to defend our human rights law, which I've posted on my Facebook page, and it's on the blog spot of the European Court of Human Rights, SOECHRSO blog spot. He's explaining that there's a kind of attack on a law that has protected LGBTQ people in the UK as well as in Europe for a long time. And I would say, as background, and this is just my opinion, that it's not accidental, because we're seeing this happen around the world, in democracies around the world, that under the, you know, distraction, with the distraction of a very real and very serious medical emergency, there's moves that are dramatic in Britain, as in Australia, as in Canada, as in the United States, to do an end run around laws that have protected freedom and equality. So I'm going to read through Professor Johnson's essay and talk about it, and then we're going to invite him right onto Facebook Live. He's listening live from Britain. Thank you so much, Professor Johnson, for staying up late. And he's here to tell you what this means for your life and what you can do to stop it if you're moved to do so. So the Telegraph has reported that, quote, Britain is preparing to opt out of major parts of human rights law. Now, this is Professor Johnson. Boris Johnson's aides and ministers are reportedly drawing up proposals to severely curb the use of human rights law in areas in which judges have, quote, overreached. And it's not clear, Professor Johnson says, exactly which judges have overreached or the areas of law in which this overreach has occurred, but the article explicitly mentions, quote, asylum cases. And my comment about this is how rights are stripped away from people. And I'm speaking as a political consultant, the most alienated group, right, the group that people can be persuaded to hate most or fear most is almost always used as kind of the test case to rationalize this restriction of rights or change in the law, which then sooner or later affects larger and larger groups of people and affects everyone. So the right wing in Britain is starting with unnamed asylum cases. Details of the potential opt-out are vague, and this is Dr. Johnson again, but include, quote, opt-outs from the Human Rights Act, which reportedly are being considered by, quote, several Whitehall departments, including number 10, the Ministry of Justice, the Home Office, and the Ministry of Defense. One option, it is said, is, quote, to amend the Human Rights Act or disapply its provisions. And other options include so-called, quote, less radical changes that are, quote, designed to affect how judges interpret the law rather than changing the substance of the act, right? So you get that this is possibly a multi-pronged approach to amend, meaning change the Human Rights Act, or to make sure that its provisions can't be applied, and other strategies. And this is how you know this is, you know, right from the heart of the right wing, because this has the hallmark of, you know, right-wing political strategy, which is multi-pronged attacks, right? Another option is to affect how judges decide on the law. So they've covered, it's like going into battle and they've covered every single position that could stop them from doing this. It's also reported, and this is Dr. Johnson, that, quote, senior government figures want to roll back the influence of the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, which several cabinet ministers have accused of distorting the 67-year-old European Convention on Human Rights, ECHR. Quote, senior Tories insist, it said that, quote, the ECHR was never intended to be used in the way it is now relied on. So what you get there is the background, like, this is, first of all, when something like the Telegraph releases these unnamed sources, again, speaking as a political consultant, what that is called a trial balloon. They are preparing the way for a full-on PR campaign for this change. And they're leaking to sympathetic reporters to say, well, this is our rationale. It's about asylum seekers. It's being abused. It was never meant to work this way. So these are not like casual, informal talking points. Again, speaking as a political consultant, these are thoroughly fleshed out by the messaging department, working after the strategy folks have already decided their political strategy, probably working after the emendations to the law have already been developed, right? The proposed emendations. And so the message people's job is to sell this to the British public and to the world. And this is what's happening now. And by the way, those of you who are not British, how can this happen, right? The European Convention on Human Rights used to protect Britain because Britain was part of Europe. With Brexit underway, what many people in Britain feared is kind of coming true in this case, because many people feared that human rights protections would be rolled back, that British people would not have the protections that Europe gives European citizens. And I have to say, I can't weigh in, you know, on either side, because I'm not a British citizen, and because we try to be agnostic here on this platform, but those critics in this case are right. Absolutely, Brexit has weakened the ability of LGBTQ people to be protected under this European law, which kind of, you know, can be challenged now. And now Professor Johnson says in some way this is not reporting anything new. And I know that this is true because he says back in 2014, the Conservative Party set out its proposal to repeal the Human Rights Act of 1998 and replace it with a, quote, new British Bill of Rights and Responsibilities. And they even raised the prospect then that the UK might withdraw from the European Court of Human Rights. And they made the case then that the Human Rights Act was undermining the role of UK courts, undermining the sovereignty of Parliament, and so on. The Conservative Party said that they were kind of threatening that in the event we're unable to reach an agreement with the Council of Europe, we, the UK, have no alternative but to withdraw from the European Convention on Human Rights. And Professor Johnson and his colleagues were out front with a policy paper about what that would mean to British people way back in 2015. So Professor Johnson has been following this, you know, since it's been looming on the horizon. And I can tell you, I visited Britain, because I'm back and forth all the time, in 2014. And I remember being struck by the, again, trial balloon kind of messaging in news reports about how asylum, you know, asylum seekers misuse this law, people pretend to be gay to misuse this law, you know, this law is being abused. And you saw this in the Tory papers, and I got a chill. I'll never forget it. I was speaking at Cambridge, and I remember reading this and thinking, oh my God, they're gunning for the for human rights law, and they're going to take it apart, and they're not going to stop. The Conservative Party's 2015 election manifesto repeated this intention to scrap the Human Rights Act. So basically, they've made it clear for a long time that they want to completely change the scope and influence of European human rights law in the UK, and I'm paraphrasing Dr. Johnson. And this is back on the agenda. Dr. Johnson, you know, speculates, and again, speaking as a political consultant former, I can totally confirm that, because you don't leak things like that with a lot of potential political blowback unless the papers are literally already drawn up to push it through. And now this is the heart of why many of you have tuned in right now. How does this affect LGBTQ communities in the UK, and why should LGBT people be worried, as Dr. Johnson puts it? So how could this harm people? The European Convention on Human Rights has been fundamental, Professor Johnson says, in developing LGBT rights and freedoms in the UK. He says it's the bedrock of many rights and freedoms that LGBT people in the UK enjoy today. He explains that the European Court of Human Rights, which is the highest judicial authority, he says, in respect of interpreting the rights and freedoms contained in the ECHR, has been central in safeguarding the rights of LGBT people in the UK. And so then he explains, and I just love how he explains this in non-legal language, he explains that the HRA 1998 brings the European Court of Human Rights, European Convention of Human Rights, closer to home, to people in Britain. He says, quote, it means that any court in the UK, from magistrates' courts in England and Wales to the UK Supreme Court, must take into account the jurisprudence of the European Court of Human Rights when considering any matter in connection with a right that falls under its rubric. Moreover, he says the HRA 1998 also requires that any UK legislation must operate in a way that is compatible with our European Court of Human Rights rights. So you get what that is. It's almost like in America, you can't pass a law that is not in alignment with the Constitution. And if it is unconstitutional, you can appeal it, and the courts can decide that it is not constitutional. This is that same kind of relationship, again, painting with a very broad brush. It means that the UK can't go off on its own, maybe, you know, homophobic or transphobic direction in passing laws that are not in harmony with what the European Court of Human Rights says means equal rights under law. He goes on to say the ECHR, in combination with the Human Rights Act of 1998, provides LGBT people in Britain, I'm adding, with one of the most powerful resources available to us to address the widespread forms of discrimination that we encounter in our lives. He says it provides LGBT people with one of the strongest shields to hold up against some of the most odious forms of discrimination. And he says lesbian and gay people in the UK have been taking cases under the European Court of Human Rights to Strasbourg, where these cases are decided, since 1975. And trans people in the UK have been doing the same since 1981. So basically, LGBTQ people in Britain had a court, they had a forum to bring violations of their equality as members of the LGBT community through the European Court of Human Rights. And that's what's being assailed right now. What are some examples? Professor Johnson gives these. He says decades of LGBT people in the UK taking cases under the European Court of Human Rights to Strasbourg has resulted in, for example, the progressive decriminalization of male same-sex sexual acts. All right? I mean, really understand that. We're talking about our lifetime, living memory. Male same-sex sexual acts were criminalized, and the European Court of Human Rights was the forum for decriminalizing these consensual acts between adults, all right? Reform of the, quote, age of consent that used to discriminate against queer couples. The removal of the ban on gay people serving in the armed forces, a very fundamental right in a democracy. And the right of trans people to full legal recognition of their sex and gender identity. He says the ECHR protects LGBT people from regressive action by this or future UK governments that may seek to, quote, roll back these important developments in human rights protection. He goes on to say, and bear with me, I'm almost done reading the heart of his so important essay. The ECHR, European Court of Human Rights, continues to give LGBT people protection from discrimination in our everyday lives. For example, he says the European Court of Human Rights, in combination with that Human Rights Act of 1998, provided the UK Supreme Court with a strong foundation for deciding in 2013 that it was not lawful for Christian hotel keepers who sincerely believe that sexual relations outside marriage are sinful to refuse a double-bedded room to a same-sex couple. And by the way, we had similar cases here in the United States that have similarly been ruled unlawful. Similarly, the ECHR, in combination with the Human Rights Act of 1998, provided the foundation for an employment tribunal in 2019 to conclude that certain, quote, gender-critical, end quote, beliefs about trans people are, quote, not worthy of respect in a democratic society, end quote, and consequently not protectable under equality law. So he concludes that the protective shield that the European Court of Human Rights provided to LGBT people in Britain and the capacity that the Human Rights Act of 1998 in Britain created to use that shield in the UK courts could be severely diminished by the plans of the Conservative Party. So that's the heart of this essay. He goes on to explain the kinds of lies you're likely to hear in the kind of messaging, some would say propaganda, to prepare the way to change the Human Rights Act, to weaken it, to allow discrimination against LGBTQ people in various ways. You're going to be told, he says, that human rights law is being abused, that judges are activists, and he rebuts that. He points out that often politicians pander to popular sentiment when it comes to quote-unquote gay issues, and that, in fact, European human rights law has never been activist. It's actually been sometimes subjected to homophobic sentiment. So basically, he concludes there has never been, and there is no, quote, rights department store, end quote, where LGBT people can buy all the human rights we want, served to us by an overreaching and activist judicial assistant. He says all of our human rights have been hard won and have developed from long years of legal struggle in response to intense discrimination. And then he links to some of the voices of people who have engaged in that struggle. And he just really warns, you know, what's ahead. And I'll wrap up with this essay and my presentation of it, of Dr. Johnson's words, Professor Johnson's words in just a moment. But he says that, you know, history shows what a dangerous move this is. At the very least, dismantling this law, he says, it would encourage a climate that is antithetical to the proper functioning of human rights law. And it would encourage the conservative and cautious approach to human rights law that is unhelpful to LGBT people seeking to address the discrimination we face. And I'm just going to chime in there and say, as someone who has been studying the history of discrimination against LGBT people, with Professor Johnson as one of my most cherished mentors, something that is categorically the case is that discrimination against queer communities shapeshifts, right? Year by year, generation after generation, these communities are targeted by the law. But, you know, just when LGBT communities secure rights under the law or rebut or resist certain kinds of discrimination, discrimination will come at them in new directions. And my aside to this is I really see that happening with the attack on trans people in the UK right now, and with these, I would say, you know, hyped or kind of astroturfed, allegedly feminist attacks on trans women, which are new, but completely horrific and, you know, are kind of rising up, you know, right when other rights have become secure. He concludes by saying, as the history of the development of LGBT human rights shows, we need to foster and promote a climate in which those charged with interpreting human rights law feel empowered to take decisions that best protect human rights, regardless of when these decisions are unpopular or claimed to be unpopular. The ECHR system works best at the domestic and international levels when it has firm political support, but the Conservative Party may have a different vision, he warns, a vision of a future in which UK courts are limited in how they can apply the ECHR, and if this creates problems down the line in the European Court of Human Rights, a battle over the European Court of Human Rights itself, and attacking the legitimacy of human rights law absolutely, he concludes, is a means of achieving that conservative vision. So he concludes, and I'm quoting him again, LGBT people, and I would chime in, and everyone else, and I'll explain why, should beware on at least two fronts. First, Professor Johnson writes, we should beware claims of, quote, judicial activism and human rights, quote, overreach, because these bogus claims threaten the legitimacy of the ECHR and those that interpret it. And second, we should beware a diminishing of the capacity to practically utilize European Court of Human Rights law rights to combat discrimination. Professor Johnson concludes we should get ready to fight to protect the HRA 1998 and the ECHR, because for all its faults, the ECHR system is the best framework we have for safeguarding our hard-won rights and freedoms and evolving them in the future. So that is his essay. And now I will go to your comments, many, many comments and questions. And I also have Professor Johnson over here on chat. So let me now read the comments, some of them. We have viewers from all over the world. Bashar Hashim says, hi from Iraq, and thank you for tuning in, Bashar. We're really happy to have you. Christelle Cornelson says, what's his whole name? And that's Professor Paul Johnson of the University of York in Britain. James Patton says, hi from Western Australia. Greetings to all of you. We need your questions and comments now. Thank you for greeting us. And here's a lawyer worth listening to. And so James Patton says Boris Johnson is implementing fascism in the UK and references the medical emergency all around us right now. And I do believe, I mean, I don't want to go down that, you know, rabbit hole I have in other videos, but certainly, again, speaking as a political consultant, it is not unusual for real emergencies to be exploited, to strip people of rights. I mean, I keep thinking about the run-up to World War I, and there was a tremendous amount of activism against the war, against getting involved in the war that was seen as not an American war, not an American agenda. And the Espionage Act was passed pretty much to criminalize dissent. Even though we had a First Amendment, the Espionage Act got around the First Amendment. So that's an example of a real emergency, a global war, you know, kind of being used as cover to kind of get around the First Amendment. Now, this is interesting. Steve Gould says, Leavers voted to get sovereignty back from Europe, whereas sovereignty was surrendered to U.S. treaties years before Britain joined the EU and will continue to be in future without the protections EU membership afforded us. I can't speak to that, but it sounds as if, and let's see if we've got Professor Johnson, it sounds as if you know about treaties I'm not aware of, but you are echoing something that critics have said, which is that, you know, when Brexit unfolded, people would be left vulnerable to not having the protections of the European Union. Okay, so Paul Johnson is on the line live, and he says, don't forget, the ECHR has nothing to do with the EU. Okay, thank you for that. Thank you so much for that correction. So the European Court of Human Rights, I misstated that, is not, the ECHR is not a European Union treaty and is not changed by Brexit. My mistake, forgive me. So let's go to Professor Johnson. And some of the questions I know people would like to have asked is how, in what way concretely could this make the lives, say the changes and emendations that the Telegraph reported went through, say that the Conservatives were successful, how could it make life in Britain more difficult for members of the LGBT community? And while Professor Johnson is thinking about that, I'll go to some more questions. Okay, Carl Graf asks, what is the canary in the coal mine to watch in the UK and the US? That's a really good question. But having done a series of these and having read Professor Johnson's work, you know, keeping people posted about the protections that various human rights laws afford LGBTQ people, I definitely think, and I'll look forward to reading what Dr. Johnson has to say about this, I definitely think that attacks on LGBTQ people's rights is a canary in a coal mine. So let's see. My question was, how could weakening the Human Rights Act affect everyone and not just the LGBTQ community? Professor Johnson writes, responds, the Human Rights Act is a powerful mechanism to resist discrimination and abuse by public authorities. The Act gives everyone a way to argue for their human rights, the rights in the European Convention of Human Rights, in the national courts of the UK. If a person is being mistreated by a public authority, such as the police, that person can argue in court that their rights are being violated. I think for any minority group, whether that be gay people, disabled people, BAME people, the dilution of the Human Rights Act would mean the removal of an important way of saying to the state, quote, stop mistreating me. So that is Professor Paul Johnson live from Britain, I assume from York, perhaps nearby. And he's very eloquently, you know, explaining that this is not just going to weaken the rights of LGBT people to argue that their rights are being violated. It affects anyone who faces discrimination. So, okay, here we go. I asked, and you asked, how could life become more difficult for LGBTQ people if this is successful? Professor Johnson is elaborating. He says, so many of the rights and freedoms of the LGBTQ people in the UK have been developed through the European Convention on Human Rights, either by the European Court of Human Rights or the national courts, meaning the British courts, correct me if I'm wrong. Everything from the criminalization of consensual sex between adults to discrimination on grounds of sexual orientation in various aspects of life. I assume, Professor Johnson, that means like in your workplace, in one's workplace or in housing, correct? Is prohibited, he says, by the ECHR. The right to full legal recognition of the sex, gender of transgender people is protected by the ECHR. Without the protection of the ECHR, a UK government could, quote, roll back rights and freedoms more easily, and LGBT people would remove a vital source of protection. And he adds, we know the present government is not big on LGBT rights. They just failed to deliver reform of the law. They just failed to deliver reform of the law regulating trans people's access to recognition of their sex. So they could decide to progressively roll back rights. What's to stop them? And he says, yes, exactly. So that's what is so very, very dangerous about this. And again, I'm just chiming in as an observer. I'm in America. I'm not probably in the same filter bubble. You know, all of our filter bubbles are different with digital media that people in Britain are who are watching this. But even from this distance, Americans are noticing the horrific systematic attack on trans people's rights. So what I understand that what Professor Johnson is explaining here is that, you know, right now people in the UK are kind of going about their daily lives with protections they may not even be aware of. Because when they go into their workplace, there's a law against discriminating against them on the basis of sexual orientation. When they seek housing, there's a recourse to discrimination. If someone says, I'm not going to rent to you, you're a gay couple or an LGBTQ, a member of the LGBTQ community. So that protection surrounds people, and now it would not. And I think he's absolutely right to say, what would stop a Boris Johnson government from continuing these attacks and rolling back laws protecting LGBTQ people? Nothing. And again, I want to chime in, I'm not the distinguished, you know, scholar of LGBTQ legal history that Professor Johnson is, but from my layperson's study of not just LGBTQ rights, but rights, and I made this point in The End of America, there is no such thing as getting rights once and for all. I mean, history shows that it is so easy to roll back rights. You think that, you know, that's done, you know, no one will remove rights of equality from people of color, no one will remove rights of equality from LGBTQ communities, no one will remove rights from Jews, but it is not true. Rights can be weakened and taken back all the time. And then last question, I had asked Professor Johnson, why would conservatives want to weaken the Human Rights Act? And Professor Johnson writes, the Conservative Party is a broad church, and there have always been and still are conservatives passionate about human rights. Winston Churchill was an advocate of the setting up of a European Court of Human Rights as early as 1949. But the Conservative Party has always had people in it that have disliked human rights, especially rights enshrined in what they see as a, quote, foreign treaty. From the 1950s, when the European Convention on Human Rights was signed and came into force, there have been conservatives, he writes, who have disliked the UK being under the influence of a European treaty. The Human Rights Act incorporates the European Convention into UK law. Oh, thank you. That answers the question of how does UK law and European law relate if it's not affected by Brexit. And that seems terrible to many conservatives. in some senses, it's a straightforward, quote, Little Englander mentality, and getting rid of the Human Rights Act would go some way toward some way of, quote, taking back control, an ambition we've seen in respect of Brexit, which fights Europe on another front. For other conservatives, getting rid of the Human Rights Act or substantially watering it down is just a mean of wrestling power away from people to resituate it in government. The Human Rights Act is a powerful shield against government abuse, and some governments don't like that. A very powerful response. Let's see if we've got some other questions and comments. Steve Gould says, the European Court and the ECHR are different, thank you, and Brexit extricates Britain from the former, not the latter, thank you. The danger is this current government has such disdain for the latter that they wish to become aloof from it. As a non-lawyer, I'd like to know how they can get away from that. Steve Gould, that's a great question. I think that Professor Johnson has answered some of it, but it certainly bears follow-up. Michael Allen says, without beating around the bush, what do you think the worst is that could come of this, the end goal? Marianne Hyatt says, wow, I didn't realize that, and I live in the UK, many thanks, peace emoji. Marianne, thank you, and can I just say, please tell people, please share. This video will be up, you can share it, you can bring people to it, and I'll continue to share Professor Johnson's really important essay about this. Let's see what Professor Johnson has to say about that. I agree with Steve, he says. Okay, we have to wrap up with one or two more questions. It's very late in Britain. And I guess I would just ask, I'm going to ask Professor Johnson to speak to this. You know, in watching the attacks, especially on trans people, and I've been, you know, reporting on this a lot, something that's been documented is that the same people who tried to create terror of same-sex bathrooms with bathroom bills in states across the U.S., which are deep-pocketed conservatives like the Scaife interests, the Koch brothers, basically the Bannon, Breitbart, Trump, and Johnson nexus, they've been trying to get us here in America to turn on trans people. We're less interested, honestly, and I would argue that it's because of the way the equality laws are written here. They're not so biological. Laws about trans, quote-unquote, self-ID is more targeted at people's kind of bodies in the UK, which I think is a flaw. But I guess I'm just going to use that as background. I see, and I'll put it to Professor Johnson, I see all of these attacks, whether they're in the US or in the UK, as distractions. I see that Johnson and Trump and this whole right-wing nexus are trying to split the T from the LGB. I think they're trying to strip LGBTQ communities of their political power because LGBTQ communities with feminists, with communities of color, with progressives in general, are a much more powerful body than are fractured progressives, people encouraged to hate trans people, people being and LGBT people, and an LGBT community that's distracted by fighting for its rights again. And I wonder what Professor Johnson has to say about that. Could this be just a big picture, not just this serious assault on UK LGBTQ and everyone's human rights, be a strategy, part of a strategy to weaken queer communities, to weaken alliances with queer communities and other progressive groups, and weaken the power of LGBTQ communities politically? And while I wait for his response to that, I guess I always like to end with, I agree with Steve. What's the end goal? Who knows? We must resituate our human rights. I believe I'm reading that correctly. Naomi, you are a clear and powerful voice that shines a light on the mistreatment and defamation of trans people. Thank you. Discrimination of trans people is rife in the UK, and we need a strong government to resist it, but we don't have one. I agree with you. They are distractions. Government will weaponize it. If they can get away with it. There is also transphobia, sadly, among gay people. I'm very sorry to hear that. LGBT community must stick together. That's the bottom line. And I would just add, everyone else who also cares about human rights must support the LGBTQ community, because there is no such thing, I've learned, of, you know, attacks and rights being stripped from only one group. They always come for the rest of us. Let's end on a positive note and let Professor Johnson and everyone watching in the UK, you know, have their, you know, midnight. What's the best thing we can do to fight this if we want to fight it, Professor Johnson? And everyone out there, again, while Professor Johnson is considering and typing, you know, I beg you, you know, read Professor Johnson's essays. I'll continue to post them. You can find them at EHCO Blogspot. Professor Johnson can correct me if there's somewhere else. He also wants his work to be read. If you have an academic access to JSTOR, you can read his academic work. But I love to paraphrase his academic work for people who don't have that. So I'll be doing more videos on buggery in Parliament, for instance, coming up. If you can get a copy of his book about homosexuality and religion with Robert Vanderbeck, you absolutely should get it. If you can't afford a copy, go ask your library to order one. This is someone, you know, follow him on Twitter. This is someone you cannot afford not to pay attention to. So, this is so nice. His final words are, stick together, respect each other, stand up for each other, uphold human dignity always. And on that note, I want to thank Professor Paul Johnson of the University of York for making time in his very busy schedule fighting against rights abuses in the UK and Europe, for coming on and speaking to all of us all over the world. And thank you to all of you all over the world, from Iraq to Berkeley, California, to all over the UK and points in between. I'm grateful to you. It's Naomi Wolf. It's Professor Paul Johnson remotely, and let's all support each other and fight back. Thank you so much, everybody. Good night.